This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. We just hear a few of those words, verses 6 through 8. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. God's word is truth. Amen. Father takes his son outside at 11 p.m. in DeForest and tells him to look up into the night sky and to see all the stars, and there are many. You can figure out some star constellations, and it's a beautiful thing, yet the water tower has added a blinking red light to the Big Dipper. And the neighbor's light is on, and the street lights glow, and so do the gas stations and restaurants. They can see the stars through it all, but if that same father and son would go out to wide open Montana and look up into the night sky, they would see it without the clutter and see it more clearly. We can get so caught up in the surroundings of today that life itself gets lost in the tyranny of the immediate, in the games that we play, in the social media feeds, and the overabundance of stuff and activities. It gets crowded in that space between our two ears. But what about eternity, yells the preacher. And honestly, many of us might say, I really haven't given it much thought. Life is too cluttered. If you slept in a tent for a night, maybe a few nights, you'd start to slowly understand that you should have cleared off the dirt, because where you sleep, under that sleeping bag, there's just a thin little layer of tent, and there's a big clump of dirt here, there's a stick there, and then there's this hard dirt floor. After just a little while, you are looking for something different. Like, not a bigger tent, not a nicer tent, something different altogether. This mortal body that we have, the Apostle Paul says, is nothing more than a tent. And in its present form, it lasts only a short moment, 70 to 80 years, perhaps, maybe even longer, and then eternity comes. And while we are in the tent of this body, do you ever long to be clothed with eternity? I mean, you've noticed, certainly, that there are some imperfections that we have to this mortal body that we have. You've noticed that there are some aches and pains. You have noticed that the older that we get, that there are more aches and pains and sorrows tacked on. I mean, after the eighth time in the hospital in 2 years, you might sigh and come to this realization, oh, what a joy it's going to be that there are no hospitals in heaven. No more poking, prodding, surgery, radiation, testing. All that stuff's going to be done. You see the hardship of sin on the soul and the body. Wear this tent out. In verse 2 it says, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. But you know that through it all, God is preparing you, right? Just as a father helps his son see more clearly that the blinking red light on the water tower is not really a part of the Big Dipper, so our Heavenly Father helps us to see the difference between what is temporary and what is eternal, and to value what is eternal. He's preparing us for eternity. Let Him do that. Make time for eternity. Pause and make time for eternity. Think about it. You know, what does God have in store for those who believe in Him for all eternity? All the aches and pains and sorrows will be swallowed up by life. And instead of trying to hide all of our ailments, because Botox only goes so far before it goes way too far, and the same thing with hair coloring and creams and everything that we try to do or use to make us keep our youth or appear youthful, at some point in time, we look at that person in the mirror and we come to the realization that this body is a fragile, temporary tent. And it is then that we look forward to, we see what God has for you. It is a house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens. And all is all this just a pep talk? Well, it's a bit more than that. Is this sermon just to make you feel good, like God helps us out to fulfill a Dove soap commercial? Be your beautiful self, like embrace the tent. Well, not that at all. I'm not here to tell you that we can fix this earthly tent. Instead, God will give us a renewed, glorified body in the heavens. And know that all the aches and pains and sorrows of this life, they're just symptoms of a greater, deeper hurt, the plague of sin. So again, I'm not here today to tell you how you can make 40 the new 20 or make 20 the new eternity. Just don't focus on the tent, my friends. What we are here to deal with today is bigger. We deal with our sin and God's grace, with heaven and hell. We deal with eternity while in a world that is all wrapped up in the last 15 seconds. Right? No matter how many times we hit refresh on our website, on our Internet Explorer or something, I still don't find myself refreshed. Well, where is our sin? I mean, it's everywhere. Each failure from God's perfect will brings destruction. In today's text, where our sin might be found is this: we do not yearn for heaven anymore. Our soul hungers, but we try to find comfort by what this world offers instead of yearning for what truly brings comfort. It's the forgiveness of sins and the open door to eternity with our Creator and Redeemer. Are we guilty of shunning the peace of God? Are we guilty of being so earthly minded that we forget often to pause and make time for eternity? Because finally, the only thing that's going to satisfy the hunger of our soul is Christ, is the eternity that He brings. Our text helps us stay focused. It says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We must stand before Christ and answer the question, why should you be in heaven? And so many people might point out to themselves, their heritage, their ability to sit through sermons and pay attention. There's got to be something for that, right? You know, whatever it is, you name it. But finally, there is one thing, only one thing that gets us in heaven. It's the righteousness of Christ, which we can only get through Christ. And this is the grace of God. It's found in Christ, who lived a perfect life to earn that righteousness, who suffered and died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, and He gives to us this inheritance, His righteousness, through the gift of faith. And by His resurrection, that's the guarantee of our own resurrection. Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah 61. He says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." This robe of righteousness is yours through faith in Christ. And good can only come from a heart of faith. Evil comes from the sinful nature. And for those in Christ, the evil we have done, confessed and forgiven, is removed, washed clean by Christ. And the faith that lives within you is the guarantee of eternity in heaven. Be of good cheer. This tent is swallowed up by eternity. The aches and pains, sin, sorrow, and guilt will no longer even be a possibility. So we are always of good cheer, and we would rather be in heaven because that is our home. And for the sermon notes today, all I have back in the narthex, and you can, if you're listening online, you can certainly call and we'll send these out to you. But it's just a little card. Maybe you can make one up yourself. It just says this. On one side it says homesick for heaven, and on the back there's room for you to write. Just pause. Make time for eternity. Think about it. Pray about it. Read Scripture to see what God tells us about heaven. You want to go to heaven. Why? Why are you homesick for heaven? Just write it down. Keep it with you. Take it out every once in a while and remind you about what God has prepared for you for the rest of time. And yet, although we are homesick for heaven, we are still here. Paul says this in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me." The Christian life is not a matter of rules and regulations. It's rather a joyful response to the gospel that frees and gives life. A response that says, "Lord, I'm available. Use me in life and in death in such a way that Jesus is praised. And be of good cheer. God has prepared you for eternity. Make time for it. Be in the Word. Be in worship. Be in prayer. Be in Bible study." I mean, all these things connecting us to God, to His Word, as He prepares us for eternity. And realize that every groan and burden of life, they're just gentle reminders that we are not in heaven yet. Lord, when Your glory, I shall see and taste Your kingdom's pleasure. Ah, yes. Until that time, our hearts yearn to be there for all eternity. Amen. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen.